geisterspiegel.de im Gespräch mit. Interview mit Mark Z. Danielewski.
So, Mr. Danielewski, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
And do you think it's a good achievement to live in your own house?
It's certainly one type of achievement. I suppose it beats living on a sidewalk when it's cold and icy. I think living in a house is always an interesting experience.
So you don't fear living in a house or have any bad connections with it?
Oh no, quite the contrary. I love the older and spookier the house, the better. You know.
Even so does it make you more creative? In a
house?
No, that spooky atmosphere.
No. I mean, because I find that spooky atmosphere everywhere. It certainly exists even in here, this strange cubicle. Who knows? We could come crawling out of the corner.
it's said on your homepage that you've been writing on this book for about 10 years.
Correct.
And what did take you so long, and what was the hardest part of writing it?
What do you mean, what took me so long? You mean, more miraculously, why didn't it take me 20 years? it was a very long process, and it began as a series of fragments, really, you know, sketches of a family, sketches of a young sort of Gen Xer, slacker, however you want to term him, a series of essays on how I could use text in a cinematic way, poems, a whole arrangement of different shards. And it was shortly after my father died in 1993 that I had this idea of a house that was a quarter of an inch bigger on the inside than the outside. And at first I didn't know what to make of that. It was maybe just a footnote or a poem or a short story. And I suddenly realized that that was the concept that unified everything. That the family I'd been writing about lived in that house. That the young man discovered that house. And that the essays actually enabled me to use text in a cinematic way based on what the house was doing, shifting. And then it was just 7 years of hard work of putting that all together and realizing it, you know, working on all the details, the subtleties of fonts, the variances in the voices, you know, and it was a great deal of work.
Okay, so there's also a catch to the way you present the whole story. Mm-hmm. It is, as you mentioned it, a very cinematic way. And do you think it's a way of modern novel writing to get in touch with all kinds of media, with radio tapes, with scientific essays, and bringing all this together is the development which is to follow?
In a certain degree, yes. I mean, I think in it's also an old tradition in a way. If you're looking at Milton, you're going to see a certain scientific influence. Mm-hmm. If you're reading Goethe, you know, there's history, there's science. There was always an attempt in the larger literary works to contain the influences of the day, you know, and certainly, we are living in a day and age where various forms of media, various forms of scientific discovery, expression, are all part of who we are. So, for the novel to deny that would be to deny its own possibilities, its own liberty to contain it. So, certainly, there are those works that are resistant to everything else that's going on around them, you know, and there's something nostalgic about that, an attempt to emulate older novels. But I'm the kind of author that looks to the future and looks to what's going on around right now, and I'm influenced by it mostly because I love it. I'm excited by everything that's going on. I love the web. I love, you know, the latest bits of technology. I couldn't have written this book or my most recent book, Only Revolutions, without technology, without being online, sort of research, of being able to go to the Oxford English Dictionary online, to access historical moments, to find certain softwares to handle the layout of the book. I mean, all of that is what I was working on. My publisher would, you know, occasionally suggest different fonts or something like that, but I was ultimately responsible for making sure every single word appeared where I wanted it.
Yeah, that's quite necessary. It's sometimes very poem-like, which is a little challenge for the reader as well, but which makes it very interesting, I think, to get along and to decide how to walk through that maze. It's a kind of finding the house in the text. That's very good, I think.
Well, thank you, Rebecca.
Your sister is a singer and songwriter.
She's a rock star.
And she released a CD called Haunted,
correct,
as I have heard. She put songs to your novel on it. And how did that joint venture come to be?
Well, she's always been my partner in crime, really. We've always listened to whatever the other was writing, musical, you know, literary, you name it. And the important thing to realize is that the songs didn't come after the book. I was listening to songs that she was writing while I was writing the book, and those songs would influence me. Then I would give her chapters, and she would read those, and then that would influence her. And it went back and forth that way. So in fact, each influenced the other. They developed at the same time. And even though the CD came out a year later, that was really more because of marketing and because of the way Atlantic Records was set up and the way Random House and Pantheon were releasing House of Leaves. But they really were written at the same time. And it was very similar to the drawing by Escher, the two hands drawing each other, that one hand that's being drawn by the other hand is drawing the other hand. And that was the relationship. And the same is true even for the more recent book.
Okay. Your recent book is named?
Only Revolutions.
Okay, that's coming out in America.
That came out last year.
Came
out with a paperback. And it's... you know, it's a different kind of journey. If House of Leaves is all about the interior and the shadows, Only Revolutions is in essence a road movie, but very much like Badlands or True Romance of two kids tearing across the United States. And even though my sister doesn't have a CD that's coming out now, I was listening to songs that she was writing, which influenced Only Revolutions, and then she would read parts of Only Revolutions, which would influence her. And whether or not it's unlikely she's going to come out with a CD that is in direct reference to that book. Haunted was definitely a reference to House of Leaves, as House of Leaves was a reference to Haunted. So she may not, her next CD may not be called Dizzy or something like that, but it will still have contained tracks that influenced my writing and that was in turn influenced by Only Revolutions.
Okay. Your sister calls herself Poe.
Yes.
And you are writing a book about a very mysterious house. So it's quite obvious that you're very influenced by Gothic novels and dark romanticism and symbolism a little bit. And is that a family thing?
Well, in some ways it must be. But I think it's sort of strange. She and I are also very good friends with Danny Elfman, the composer.
Yeah.
And whenever we go over to his place, which is fairly often, because he has wonderful movie nights and whatnot, the house is filled with shrunken heads and skeletons and everything. And I'm quite at home there, and my sister's quite comfortable, and it's like it all feels very nice. But I remember once we brought a friend in, and she was terrified by everything. You know, it really was unsettling for her. This was not a nice environment, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't like looking at a shrunken head or a skeleton. So clearly there is some sort of strange taste that runs in the family and even among our friends for that, which is, you know, perhaps a little terrifying.
Okay. Can you... we also have young authors visiting our site, so can you give advice to the authors?
Absolutely.
What is the most necessary thing to do if you want to write a book?
The most important, I'll tell you two things. The most important thing is to write what you love. Because it will hold you through the hard times, and it will hold us through the good times. And the second thing is, if you're writing a book, before you go out and seek publication, finish the book in its entirety. Because all a publisher really wants to do is find a finished book and put a piece of cardboard on it and a cover and send it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to believe absolutely that this book is done.
Okay, thank you. Is there a novel which you would have wanted to have written?
No.
That's great.
No.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing. And so what are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm already writing something else, which I won't tell you about, but I've been working on it for a year, and my sister's already read, 500 pages of it, and she's actually very annoyed that I'm in Germany, because she wants to know what happens next, and she wants me to keep writing, so there
so
you go.
Keep her telling on the phone, maybe.
Exactly.
Okay, well then, thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much.
And I hope you have a good time in Germany.
I'm having a great time.
Yes.
I like your purple theme, too, by the way.
Ah, thank you.
It's Pelafina's color, and it's also an important... She's the mother who wrote all the letters at the end of House of Leaves, so purple's an important color. And then purple and violet become a very important color in Only Revolutions, so
well
done.
Yeah, she's got purple nails.
She does, doesn't
she?
Yeah,
she does. Okay, the last thing I want you to do is sign my book.
Oh, pleasure. In fact, we'll even do some purple, because I brought purple today.